All right, let's do it.
600 ESPN El Paso, River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. You just heard from Adrian Broaddus. That's right. We are on an hour early today because we're going to be ending early. 4:30, the cutoff time today as we get you ready for the national championship game. Indiana and Miami kicks off at 5:30, so our coverage will start an hour early for both sports talk and the pregame show. Excited about that. Loving the fact that we are back live out here at Border City Ale House, 1506 Lee Trevino, where dry January options include the Howdy THC Seltzer, the Dos Equis Lime and Salt Zero, the Heineken Zero, Deschutes Zero IPA, and the White Claw Zero. I don't think I have ever seen more zero options in my life than right now, and they've got them all for you here at Border City Ale House. Plus, UFC 324 and 325 coming up this weekend, the 24th and 31st. The prelims will start at 6, 10 o'clock, $10 to a RSVP per person. And there's so much else going on. DJs every Friday, Saturday, karaoke every Sunday at 9:30 at night. You can also book your Super Bowl parties here in our green room via our website, over the phone, or in person. Keep a lookout for all future events by following us on Instagram and Facebook at Border City Ale House. All right. As I mentioned, 90 minutes with you today. As we now know, the championship games, they have been set in the National Football League. And by the way, I really need to congratulate myself, Adrian. I went 0-4 over the weekend. I missed every single game there was because I predicted Buffalo and San Francisco on Saturday and Houston and the Bears on Sunday. Now, albeit, two of those games could have easily swung the other direction. But I should have known C.J. Stroud is just not the answer for the Houston Texans long term. And as far as San Francisco goes, maybe I was, too optimistic in terms of their performance because they were god-awful against Seattle. Their luck finally ran out on Saturday, and that was the end of that. As for the other two games, you know, Denver and Buffalo was a classic. Same thing for your Rams and Bears. I'm so happy you're still wearing Rams gear. And you're one win away from going to Radio Row to cover your favorite team, which has to be something you just can't stop thinking about right now.
I don't want to think about it too much because if I get let down this weekend, I'm going to feel bummed. And I don't want to be bummed going to Radio Row. Like, it's an exciting time for us to be out there. We're so hyped for it. February 2nd couldn't come faster for us when we'll be out there in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, getting ready for Super Bowl 60. And this is the fourth year in a row, Steve. So this is going to be a good one, but imagine if the Rams went, it would make it much better. I have so many takeaways from yesterday's game, so many takeaways from all the games over the weekend. I went 1-3, so I was not, I was right there with you, but I picked the one that mattered, and that's where I felt the best. Yep. I picked the Rams to win in that game against the Bears, and man, what a game. The Rams, who looked cold at times, but then, warmed up, heated up in the end, and that's all that matters. The Puka Nacua catch, the Matthew Stafford throw to Devontae Adams in overtime. Those were all special moments, and that led to the game-winning field goal that ended up sealing the game.
Sure did. I was convinced when Cole Kmet caught the pass from Caleb Williams with 18 seconds left to go on fourth down, at that point I was convinced, all right, this is more than just coincidence. This is like divine intervention. I thought, the ghost of Walter Payton was looking down on this team and saying, yep, we're going to make sure we get you out to, the Super Bowl. But nope, wasn't like that in the overtime session. In fact, everybody talking about the DJ Moore situation where he just did not run the route that everybody was expecting, gave up on it with Caleb Williams throwing the pick. That led to the Rams going down the field, kicking the game-winning field goal, and beating the Bears in OT, which, listen, two overtime games in four divisional playoff games? What did we do to luck into that?
Seriously, what a weekend, right, of football. The weekend itself was so much fun to just be glued to the couch, watch all these games, consume everything all at once. Like, really, the only dud was Seattle-San Francisco. Even the Patriots-Texans game yesterday in the second half, there were vulnerable points for that Patriots team. So it wasn't like that one was a blowout. The Broncos-Bills game was incredible. And then as soon as that game ended, I mean, Raheem Shaheed was already running in the end zone for that kickoff return for a touchdown for Seattle. So yep. Outside that Seahawks 49ers game, every game was good over the weekend. Steve, did you think that the Bears should have went for two after that Cole Kmet touchdown when Caleb Williams threw it, you know, the way that he did to close out regulation?
So if Dan Campbell was coaching the team, yes. And I know Ben Johnson, you know, was an assistant and a coordinator under Dan Campbell. But, I mean, that is such a gamble because if you miss it, you're done. And it's like, how do you not at least give your team the opportunity to try and win in overtime when you've got all the momentum going your way? And they did have all the momentum going their way. The Rams' defense was reeling a little bit from that touchdown. Everybody was just, you know, the crowd was going nuts. Like, nah, I would have played it safe. It's easy to say that now that they lost, but I absolutely felt you can't roll the dice on that. There's so much at stake, and if you don't get it, the game is over. So, nah, I still would have played it the same way. How about you?
I think I would have done the same, although I will say momentum was all on the Bears' side. I think if you're Chicago, you just kind of think, well, Caleb might be the best player on the field on both sides. Like, yep. Maybe Puka Nacua, you can make the argument for the Rams, who played out of his world, to close out that game. The only thing that I would say is that Rams defense, what happened? They've turned from reliable to now suspect. Their corners can't cover anybody. Even the interceptions off Caleb Williams, those were on the, you know, those were against Caleb. Those were kind of against the receivers at times, like DJ Moore, what we just talked about. The one thing that you can credit the Rams for is they were good when it mattered. 3 for 6 on fourth down conversions. That's what they held Chicago to in the entire game, and some of those were drive killers when you talk about it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I'll say this. I mean, Stafford didn't throw a touchdown. He didn't throw a pick. They let Kyron Williams do all the dirty work for them, getting into the end zone. But it was just one of those games where, I don't know, did you feel after the touchdown to tie the game and send it into overtime, did you feel that the Rams had no chance, or did you still believe?
Yes, I thought the Rams had no chance. I thought it was the team of destiny for the Bears. I thought it was over. I was so worried for the Rams. What an emotional roller coaster. There were times where I felt like the Rams were dead in the water, couldn't move the ball at all. And then there were times where the Rams, because of their defense, were still in the game. So, I mean, you could make the argument at half, the Bears should have been up at least 16-10 based on all the times they went for it on fourth down in enemy territory, didn't settle for, a field goal, instead tried to go for it on fourth down, and they would just wouldn't convert. And that's on Ben Johnson. I think that this game right here will haunt Ben Johnson. This will haunt Bears fans out there, because I feel like the better team yesterday was Chicago for the most of it. And for the Rams moving forward, they're going to have to play a lot better than they did in this game, because I thought they showed a lot of vulnerabilities. And then you also factor in, Stafford didn't look that healthy. That finger looks like it's bothering him on some of those throws. Devontae Adams got hit around a ton of times. You don't want to go into that game against Seattle down more men than you already have in this game.
Especially as good as Seattle looked against San Francisco. Let's be honest. Seattle looked like ridiculous. They dominated early. San Francisco never got comfortable in this game. They just, they were settling for field goals when Seattle was putting touchdown after touchdown after touchdown on the board. And that was an impressive display. I mean, that was a Seattle beatdown of San Francisco that I'm sure Seahawks fans are going to remember for a while.
And for Seattle, they lose Zach Charbonnet. That's a big loss right there for the Seahawks. I think the big win against San Francisco. I will say this, though. Even though the scoreboard showed 41-6, how many of those drives for San Francisco would go same thing like the Bears? They'd go all the way into Seattle territory and not convert on a fourth down play, not convert on a third down play, and as a result, no points on the board. Disappointing by Kyle Shanahan and this team. I think for all the praise that we gave Brock Purdy for getting them to this point, he can't get them even over that hump just a little more than they need right now. And Christian McCaffrey, you know, when he's healthy down the stretch in the postseason, you kind of waste a run by him. That's a little disappointing right here for San Francisco. And I wonder how much of this turnover that they'll see on this roster and how many guys will be able to keep back. You know, Ayuk's not coming back next year. And if I'm a 49er fan, I'm expecting change coming into next year, regardless if that's a good thing or not.
No, I agree with you. Again, we can talk about all this on the program today as we get going. 505-6009. Meanwhile, the New England-Houston game, listen, as good as that Texans defense is, and they were good, but God, C.J. Stroud with those four picks in the first half, I was really kind of hoping with Houston down 21-10, and then they kind of made it a ball game again, and we're down 21-16. You know, I was wondering if they were going to go and go to Davis Mills, but I guess not. They lived and died with C.J. Stroud that entire game. But, you know, give the Patriots and Drake May a lot of credit. You know, they also turned the ball over. May had lost two fumbles, and then he threw a pick. So it wasn't like Drake May played a great game. But Seattle's defense gave Houston fits. And you want to know something, when they needed it, between Boutte and Diggs and Douglas, hey, they've got the weapons that it takes in order to get New England right now one step closer to Santa Clara and, realizing that they're not going to get Bo Nix in the championship, and instead they're going to get Stidham. What an opportunity for New England. Unbelievable.
I just feel so bad for all the Bronco fans out there right there because, you know, after the news for Bo Nix, I just felt like whoever's winning that Patriots-Texans game is going to the Super Bowl. And it's crazy to think, if you would have told us in August, in July even, that Mike Vrabel, year one with the Patriots, would be able to turn this around and get this team to the Super Bowl, the one thing that I do want to caution everybody with is how much of this becomes, wow, this was a Mickey Mouse type of run for the Patriots where they had the softest schedule going into the regular season. In the postseason, they don't have to face anybody, you know, that tough. So the narratives are going to be there. So that will be coming up regardless of who they play in the Super Bowl. But I just have to figure this is going New England's way, and anything less would be a massive disappointment, which would be, you know, turns it on the other side. And hey, you talk about Sean Payton, Steve, he's been there before. So I guess you can make the argument that if there's going to be a coach out there to make more with less that he has on his roster, it could be somebody like Sean Payton who gets it done.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, once again, I mean, you know, you could say that Stidham is the next Nick Foles or Jeff Hostetler, comes in the right situation, and he's got the experience. He's got, you know, he's got what it takes to get Denver over the hump. They're home. You know, Denver, it's tough at home. Why is it that every single time the Broncos play out there in Mile High, the opponents are always huffing and puffing, having a hard time, running out of gas? I mean, that's going to favor the Broncos no matter who's quarterback in this team on Sunday.
I feel like with Stidham, though, the problem is he doesn't have this real-time experience. The last real experience he's had has been, you know, it's been years since he's actually had real in-game experience. I would almost expect a dual quarterback system between Stidham and Ellinger, who's also on this team. So they're going to probably bounce between both guys and see what they could do. I don't know, man. I'm a little disappointed. I know they signed Ben DiNucci as well, the ultimate backup quarterback. He's also going to be on this roster and run with Denver. So the defense would be the only way you could talk me into this, or if they make it a ground and pound game and just try to get to the Super Bowl to try to get healthier.
I was hoping they were going to bring Philip Rivers again out of retirement.
Yeah, that's what my dad was saying as well. I mean, imagine Joe Flacco, like, late in the stretch, you just get somebody like him.
Love it. I mean, it would have been wild. So, as you might imagine, we have a lot to cover over the next 75 minutes here on Sports Talk as we get you ready for Indiana and Miami. Can the U get it done and knock the Hoosiers out of the perfect season national championship picture? Or will the Heisman Trophy winner, Fernando Mendoza, reign supreme in about 6 hours? When this game wraps up, our coverage starts at 4:30. We're live at Border City Ale House with you on Sports Talk as we continue here on the show. Speaking of tonight's CFP Championship, football playoffs are here. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the gridiron action because you can make picks and win money right now in Texas. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, receptions, and more. Get them right, and you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Speaking of tonight, Fernando Mendoza, 1.5 touchdown passes. Oh, I like higher against Miami. I know they got a good defense. I know that you don't always need Mendoza to throw TD passes because they can run it in. But I will say higher than 1.5 for Mendoza tonight against Miami. So, what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use promo code KROD to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KROD. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. When we come back, more on Divisional Weekend, more on tonight's championship, and of course, the UTEP basketball team. How did they fare over the weekend? We'll talk about all of it. Sports Talk continues live from Border City Ale House, getting you ready to go for Indiana and Miami. Coming up at 4:30 right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Even the El Paso Metroplex, so we have a
first-time head coach. We'll see how this works out in Miami. I don't know much about Halfley, although obviously, if you're a Packers fan, you realize that he probably did some very good things the last few years in Green Bay. Now that Sean McDermott is out in Buffalo following that crazy ending against the Broncos to send Denver to the championship game, Adrian, I really wonder, is, you know, John Harbaugh maybe wondering, did I commit too soon? Should I have held out and maybe he'd be going to coach Josh Allen in Buffalo right now rather than going to the Giants?
I didn't even think about that. The John Harbaugh could have been, you know, coaching Josh Allen. I didn't even kind of wrap my mind around that one. But I think the Bills are telling you what they want with this. Like, they want somebody who could be more inclined, more on the same page with Josh Allen. I think this is a little bit of McDermott kind of staying a little bit longer than he should have with the Bills, like overstaying his welcome a little bit. You have the best player on the planet, although, gosh, man, 5 turnovers by Josh Allen. Some of those are like rookie turnovers, like rookies like Shedeur Sanders would be making those types of turnovers like he had. They have to go into this offseason and change a lot of things and kind of shake things up. Their window is kind of closing. Just the same way that San Francisco struggled in that game with Seattle, I felt like Josh Allen had to make up for a lot with this Bills team because they were decimated. I mean, Brandon Cooks, he wasn't even in the league like 3 weeks ago. He's all of a sudden a relevant player in this game for Buffalo. They're having to rely on, you know, Shakir in this game, and he's okay, but that's a lot to ask for guys like Dalton Kincaid who haven't been in big games like this. So Buffalo, they need a regime change. It looks like they're going to look at Davis Webb, David Blau, who those two names are kind of trendy guys in the offensive world. And they are also saying that Brian Daboll could find his way as an offensive coordinator with that squad when it's all said and done. So this hire will be totally about Josh Allen here in the future.
That, let me tell you this. Don't be surprised if Brian Daboll comes back to Buffalo. He did a lot of really good things there with Josh Allen. And even though he failed in New York with the Giants, I could see that being their pivot move. I really could.
I could, too. I feel like with this, they'd have to probably go with a name like Mike Kafka as the head coach and then Daboll as the, you know, offensive coordinator, which is funny because that's basically the New York Giants offensive coaching staff with Daboll and Kafka switching roles from head coach to offensive coordinator. So I could see that possibly happening. I could also see Joe Brady, who has been the primary play caller for Josh Allen, getting a really good look. And them trying to promote from within for Buffalo. But again, it seems like a window's closed here for Buffalo. They're getting a little older across their roster. They have to figure out a way to reset a bit, but also stay competitive because you still have Josh Allen on your team. You want Super Bowl or bust, and that's the precedent this firing kind of sets in Buffalo. And I feel for the fans, man. It was unfortunate the way that they exited the playoffs.
Well, let me say this, okay? It's crazy to think that a play is crazy. Let's be honest. The Cooks pass, which was picked off and eventually a couple of PIs later led to Denver's overtime win. You know, the fact that that ending could be the reason why McDermott's out in Buffalo is absolutely wild. Although there are plenty of fans in Buffalo that wanted McDermott gone after that game just because of the defense, how it played against Denver. And then, you know, controversial play aside, hey, Josh Allen didn't do himself any favors at the end of the first half where he was holding that football out and essentially giving Denver's defense a chance to knock it out and kick that field goal to score those 10 points at the end of the first half.
It's funny because you put both Caleb Williams, Josh Allen, and hey, you can even throw in CJ Stroud all in the same conversation from over the weekend. You're talking about Caleb Williams, who had three interceptions in that game, granted two touchdowns that were game-saving for Chicago yesterday. You look at CJ Stroud, four interceptions, five total turnovers for that Houston offense. And then you look at Josh Allen, five total turnovers himself. Turnovers defined this weekend when it came to the NFL playoffs. And for Josh Allen, he's got to be better in these postseason games, knowing he's been there before. It's not like he hasn't been there and he's an unproven guy. This is a guy who's been there before with Buffalo.
Yes, he has. All right, you want to weigh in on all of this? We'd love to hear from you right now. 505-6009. That is our telephone number, 505-6009. You can also hit us up on the app, the 600 ESPN El Paso app. You can get us on Twitter and X at 600 ESPN El Paso. So many ways to chime in over the next 60 minutes as we get you ready to go for the CFP Championship right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Right now, though, it is the bottom of the hour. Let's get right back to Adrian. He's standing by with this SportsCenter update. Seeing you live out here from Border City Ale House. They've got the winter specials menu featuring four seasonal craft cocktails and four seasonal food items. It's going to be available for the next 12 days till January 31st. So check that out, the winter specials menu here at the Ale House. You can also book your Super Bowl parties here in the green room via the Border City Ale House website, also over the phone or in person. Finally, want to let you know about Craft and Cocktails. It's happening February the 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30. You can grab your BFF or BF Valentine-themed bracelets. All supplies are included. Drinks and food not included. Spots are limited. Don't forget, Craft and Cocktails, February 3rd, 6:30 to 8:30 here at Border City Ale House. So, We've got all these great NFL fallout. It's terrific. Coaches getting fired, controversy galore. The Dolphins getting their next head coach. The Giants agreeing with John Harbaugh. There are so many great storylines out of the NFL. But think about this right now. The Rams and Seahawks are going to be playing in the NFC title game. The Patriots and Broncos in the AFC title game. Now, Adrian, I never would have guessed New England and Denver in the championship under any circumstances at the start of this year. As far as the NFC, I might have had the Rams just thinking they could bounce back, but Seattle, no way. So I love the fact that of the four teams playing in Championship Sunday, three, if not all of them, are teams that probably very few people had on their board when we started the year.
I mean, if you said Jarrett Stidham, Sam Darnold, Drake May, and Matthew Stafford as the final four quarterbacks, those odds right there would be unheard of on sites like Underdog or Prize Picks or any of those sites. Yep. Like those are unheard of. Those you couldn't even take any kind of money like that. So yeah, the fact that this one ended up being, or this final four ended up being this way, it's a reflection of maybe this season. There's been a ton of parity. No Lamar Jackson, no Joe Burrow, no Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And because of all of that, you're getting new blood all across the board when it comes to the playoffs. I think for me right now, I think I feel confident in saying it's Patriots versus the winner of Seahawks Rams. I feel pretty good about that right there. And then when the Patriots, if they make it to the Super Bowl right there, can Mike Vrabel win it in year one? Can Drake May, as a second-year guy out of the 2024 draft class that has produced so many good players, be the first guy to win the Super Bowl? Like, there's so many good storylines on just that New England side of things.
No, you're right. Now, there are great storylines on the Patriots side of things. There really are. So you look at everything going on right now, by the way, as far as New England's roster goes. And, I mean, when Vrabel took over, you just had a feeling, right, that he was going to be able to kind of take this franchise back. Although I didn't think they would be this far this soon with Drake May in his second season as quarterback. As far as Jarrett Stidham goes, that's just, listen, bad luck. I feel for Bronco fans. I really do. But let's not say that Stidham can't do it. He's got plenty of experience. Probably could start on some teams in this league like the Jets and others. And I don't know. Well, listen, if I'm not mistaken, Stidham was a former Patriot. That's where he got to start.
He was. That's a good point. I mean, there's a I will say this. With Jarrett Stidham, there's an element of just running the ball with R.J. Harvey. I was feeling that with the Rams yesterday. Yeah. It was like, even with Stafford kind of struggling, they just, you know, kind of ran the ball down the Bears' throat yesterday and won that game. If you're able to establish a run game against New England, if you're able to use that home field advantage, if you're able to turn Drake May over the same way that the Texans were able to apply pressure to Drake May, you do that here in this championship round, who's to say that the Broncos can find their way to victory? But if they do, Steve, I just don't see them winning the Super Bowl. I think there's a ceiling either way. If they get this done against New England, it's a good story. I just don't see them hanging a banner winning a Super Bowl without their franchise quarterback in Bo Nix.
Can you see Drake May hanging a banner if they get past Denver this Sunday?
I can. I think this has a Super Bowl caliber type of team. I mean, this weekend, it's like Christian Gonzalez and Davis, you know, Carlton Davis, at the two corners stepping up. Those guys were MVPs on Sunday's game. The way that they were able to pick apart C.J. Stroud, not allow that pass game to go into fruition. And they absolutely shut down the run game. Like, they were playing real physical against that Texans front, which made me think, like, they also have a pass rush. Like, that they have a recipe to actually win this Super Bowl. And their window of opportunity is now here if you're New England. Like, seize this opportunity. This kind of reminds me of Joe Burrow, second year, when they got a chance to go to the Super Bowl against the Rams. It was kind of like, wow, they're already here just in year two of Joe Burrow. But in reality, when you have this kind of run, you got to seize this opportunity if you're any of these teams going into the, you know, playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. And by the way, 41 points by the Seahawks. We were talking about how we were concerned about Sam Darnold. He didn't have to do anything. 12 of 17 for 124 yards and a touchdown. That's all Darnold did against San Francisco. The defense, special teams, and Kenneth Walker III did everything else.
That's why, to me, I was impressed by the way Seattle just found a way to win. You know, they were with a layoff. They didn't have any kind of hangover on their side. They were still as fierce as ever, but it came to them a little easy. Now, when they have to go up against a team like the Rams, who's on paper much better team than the 49ers, who had arguably, you know, should have won two of those games in the regular season, a very controversial, you know, two-point conversion in that second game between Seattle and LA, that decided the game in favor for the Seahawks. I feel like that's why this weekend, you know, if you're talking about best matchups, it's no question to me. It's Seattle and L.A. It's the Rams versus Seahawks in the rubber match. Who comes out on top the third time these teams play? And so you have another second-year coach in Mike McDonald who's had so much success with Seattle. Give them a ton of credit in what they were able to do. I think the defense gets the big MVP on my side from Seattle from Saturday. They were able to shut down San Francisco on key downs, when it came to that matchup.
Again, you want to talk about it with us, we'd love to hear from you. 505-6009, our telephone number. We're live with you until 4:30 out here at Border City Alehouse, 1506 Lee Trevino, getting you ready. Monday Night Football. Monday night. Yeah, it is. It technically is Monday Night Football. It's just the championship game and not NFL. But we've got it for you. We're back here on a Monday. We got Indiana and Miami. So come down, check it out with us as we continue at 600 ESPN El Paso. From Border City Alehouse as we continue getting you ready for the college football national championship game. You know, every year when that letter comes in the mail telling you about your home, its appraised value, how it's gone up sometimes way more than you anticipate, the first thing you start thinking to yourself is, what are my property taxes going to be like? They keep going up and up and up. And for those of you that have tried protesting your property taxes on your own, you know it's complicated and it can be time consuming. I've done it myself. I've protested. It is not fun. It's nerve-wracking. And yes, there's a lot that goes into it. And by the way, there's no guarantee that when you leave your hearing, you're going to come out on top. So let me tell you something. For people that do think protesting your property taxes sound like a hassle, I've got good news for you. The folks at Own Well can save you. In fact, you can sign up in just 3 minutes, and they'll show you how much they can save for you. And that's what it's all about for Own Well. They'll step in. They'll keep your assessed value in check so your tax bill does not explode. Average customers saved hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on property taxes in 2025. Join the thousands of homeowners just like me in your neighborhood who trust OwnWell. Stop overpaying on property taxes. Get your free savings estimate right now at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com to see how much you can save. OwnWell.com.
Good thing for them, Steve, is they've got six of their next eight games at home here at the Don Haskins Center. That could prove, to benefit this team when it's all said and done.
Well, they got four in a row. So that's the key, too, right? Four in a row at the Don Haskins Center. So if there was ever a time to turn things around and all of a sudden go from 2-5 in Conference USA to possibly 6-5 or even 5-6 if they win three of their next four at home, it would be right now because it's what you hope they'll be able to get, they'll be able to start getting this thing turned around in the right direction. We've seen some signs, Adrian. We've seen some signs. Saturday was promising in terms of Caleb Blackwell, who was lights out at times and couldn't miss in the first half. But again, as entertaining as that basketball game was, once Liberty got on that second half run, they quickly were able to erase all of the, you know, the positive ground that UTEP had made in the first 25 minutes of that ballgame.
I thought that it was competitive all the way until the second half and with about 9 minutes left. And credit the Miners for even keeping it close to begin with. I mean, you think about Liberty, they're one of the best teams, if not the best team overall in Conference USA. And it's just the same guys over and over who beat them. It's Cleveland, Porter, and Matheny, the same guys we talked about on Friday. You could also add Decker to the conversation, who scored 20 against the Miners in this matchup. And then, you know, I liked the Caleb Blackwell game, but I didn't particularly like the game from guys like Jamal West Jr., who played well against Delaware but only scored 5 points. They need all three of them, Kasim Watson, Jamal West Jr., and Elijah Jones, who, by the way, Jones had 21 in this game. They need all three of them to be good in order for UTEP to win games.
They do. You're right. You can't. And by the way, they only went with two guys on the bench, Cassius Brooks and Trey Horton III. That was it. That's how short that roster was against Liberty.
Short rotation. That's what they're committing to. And I think they found their rotation, their guys. Surprising to think that last weekend, L.A. Hayes was a go-to guy. This weekend, he was a non-factor. So I think that's consistency Hayes has to find in practice in order to justify his playing time. But at the same time, I want to see them dip into more guards, kind of, you know, playing different guys in different rotations in different moments here moving forward.
We got more to talk about in our final 30 minutes. We'll come back at 4. We'll take you up till the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour and get you ready for Indiana and Miami. That's right. The CFP Championship is coming up right here. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody, as Sports Talk continues for another 30 minutes as we celebrate the American Civil Rights activist and the leader of the civil rights movement all the way up until his assassination in 1968, Dr. King, here on a day where sports has always been very big on MLK Day. In fact, the NBA, as Adrian mentioned just now during Sports Talk, lots of games all day long. Mavs Knicks going right now with the Spurs Jazz. We've already had three games earlier today. So, yes, the NBA has always been very big on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And sports as well. We've got the College Football Playoff Championship coming up. We're live at Border City Ale House, 1506 Lee Trevino, hanging with you here on this Championship Monday. In fact, we already have, I think there's three reserved tables tonight for the championship game between Indiana and Miami. So you can come down here to the Ale House, celebrate with us, enjoy the winter specials menu while it lasts until January the 31st. You can also book your Super Bowl party here. That's right, in the green room. It's right around the corner, folks. We're going to be heading out 2 weeks from today to San Francisco in Radio Row. Adrian, has it set in yet that the fourth annual Sports Talk Road to the Big One, to Super Sunday, is 2 weeks away?
I'm so pumped for it, man. I feel like this time around, you know, first year was just happy to be there. Second year, we were getting good interviews. We were landing solid guests. Year three, last year, I mean, we hit it out of the park. We were having A-list people join us throughout the week. We were a part of different, you know, organizations and like their own schedule. And we were scheduling interviews with people that you wouldn't think 600 ESPN El Paso would schedule. So for San Francisco, I feel like this is our time. Like we're continuing. We've done this now, you know, three different times, this one being four. So let's do it. I'm really looking forward to it all, especially since it's looking like two new teams going to the Super Bowl right here. Well, it will be two new teams, at least from last year's. It won't be a repeat from last year's team.
No, exactly right. We're going to see, you know, some teams that, quite frankly, we haven't seen since we've been covering this game. No matter what happens, Adrian, no matter who goes, these will be two new teams that we have not had the chance to cover yet. So I'm excited about that.
And some of those teams have UTEP ties. So I said it before, but if you know, the Patriots end up going to the Super Bowl, which I think that's going to be the case, going up against a team in the Broncos who are just decimated at this point. You've got UTEP connections. How about this? Jeremy Springer was a UTEP alum. He played linebacker here from 2007 to 2011, so he's been a part of some really good teams. He knows he's part of the Mike Price coaching tree, I guess you could say. He coached at UTEP early in his career, and now he's the Patriots special teams coordinator. How cool is that? And then the fact that Christian Gonzalez, I mentioned him, he's a cornerback for the Patriots. His dad, Hector Gonzalez, played basketball at UTEP. So some cool stories when it comes to the Miners and some connections they have with New England. So if they make it to the Super Bowl, you got that.
We need New England to get in for UTEP reasons. I don't think there's any Denver connections, unfortunately.
I don't think there's a Denver connection. I don't think there's a UTEP connection right now. It's only like the former ones. Jeremy Springer, by the way, did coach with the Rams. Wes Phillips, you could talk about that one right there. He was an assistant coach for the Rams back in 2021, but no current UTEP and El Paso connections right there. Seattle, we obviously know it's the Tyrese Knight connection. How cool would that be if we get a chance to see T. Knight, who's been, you know, dealing with a shoulder injury. He was activated against the 49ers, and he did play for Seattle in that game on special teams.
Yeah, that would be wild if we could end up, you know, having Seattle just for that reason, Adrian. The fact that they do have a very big. Can you imagine if we've got Seattle, New England, and we have a pair of teams with big-time UTEP connections. That would be a lot of fun.
Jeremy Springer has been around. You know, I would want to know right out of the gate, Steve, would Jeremy Springer ever want to coach in college, right? He's a special teams coordinator. That means, you know, in the future, he could catapult to not just a, you know, a college coaching job, but maybe even an NFL head coaching position down the road. I mean, special teams coordinators are often looked at that, you know, in that light. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Springer, who's risen through the ranks, gets an opportunity like that. Of course, he still has to win, and he's doing so with a good organization right now in New England, but that would be a really cool story in itself. Would he want to be coaching in the college ranks? Would he ever entertain coaching at UTEP down the road if a vacancy ever happened? Like, those are thoughts that I have. And then for Tyrese Knight, this is a guy who we got a chance to interview a ton of different times, so that would be a really neat thing to see. I can't lose no matter what. Whoever ends up in the Super Bowl, we're gonna find a good tie with 600 ESPN El Paso and us being out there for Radio Row.
Yeah, I'm excited, folks. I really am. It's right around the corner. So 2 weeks from today we're heading out, and then our broadcasts will start live coming up on Tuesday. So that will be February the 3rd when we begin things out there from Radio Row out in downtown San Francisco, and getting you ready for what's just going to be a really, really fun matchup. 505-6009, that is our telephone number as we get started here in hour number two of the program. By the way, Brian from downtown just chimed in and said, of course you will get front row guests. They have products to pimp. He's right. That's how we got Emmett Smith last year. You better believe it. That's what Radio Row's all about, Adrian. For the most part, the coaches, the players, they're all coming with products. That's what they do for that 1 week.
I'm cool with it. I mean, if we have to do a quick ad read for any of these, any of these guests who end up joining us, we're cool doing it as well. And I mean, whether it was Bounty Paper Towels, who gave us a ton of different guests last year, we can credit them for guests like we were doing the Griffin Brothers. That's like such a random interview right there, but we did it with them. Tableau with Emmett Smith. That was a great brand right there who worked with us. You name it, Steve. They all joined us for Radio Row, and we were happy to endorse some of those different brands.
This comes in via the app. One of the many NFL fans glad the 49ers are out. That comes from Pinky, who was happy the 49ers were eliminated. I know Orly's not happy, and all the other 49er fans out there. But at least if there is some solace, they didn't string you along in this one. This game was pretty much over from the beginning, Adrian. By the time it started, San Francisco was really never able to keep this one close.
It's funny. I literally flipped over from the overtime game for the Broncos and the Bills, and the first thing I saw was Shaheed in the end zone off the kick return for a touchdown. And then I kept asking everybody, like, what happened? What happened? What happened? And I had to go to the ESPN app to see that Shaheed actually returned it to the house for a touchdown. I mean, for that to be the tone setter right there for Seattle, by the way, for Rashid Shaheed to come over and join this team after being dealt away from the Saints, what an acquisition by this front office for Seattle, and what an addition to add to this playoff roster right here for this squad. For him to score on that 95-yard kick return for a touchdown, it set the tone, and Seattle really never looked back. I thought San Francisco was playing desperate all the way through after that kickoff return for a touchdown, which started the game.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Meanwhile, another coaching story that we haven't talked about yet today. We had John Harbaugh to the Giants. We're talking about the McDermott situation being out in Buffalo. How about Kevin Stefanski to the Falcons?
I know, that's a big one right there, too. I mean, a lot of weekend NFL coaching finalization. I think for Stefanski, it's a great move, man. You get to go over to the AFC South, I mean, to the NFC South, a very winnable division. The one problem and the one red flag, this is like extreme red flag I see, Stefanski never got things right with quarterbacks in Cleveland. Now he's going to an organization where he has Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. You're not going to necessarily get the quarterback situation right this year. When are you going to get it right in Atlanta? Like, that's the big red flag I have with this. But maybe they're thinking, okay, well, Stefanski could be an offensive mind. Maybe he can develop around Michael Penix and the talent that they have around him.
Maybe so. And what is it with the Titans? I mean, John Harbaugh goes to the Giants before he was supposed to go to the Titans. Same thing with Stefanski, and even the Dolphins hired Jeff Hafley before his visit with the Titans. So what's happening with that? What is happening with Tennessee and how they can't seem to, finalize one of these coaching candidates?
Yeah, damn. Tennessee is swinging and missing right now on a lot of these guys. Ulbrich is going over with Stefanski too, by the way. I think with Tennessee, there has to be interest knowing that it's Cam Ward as your quarterback right now. And maybe it's Sean McDermott. Maybe it's as easy as that. Steve, plug and play, a former coach who led a team in an organization to the playoffs. He kind of, when you think about McDermott, he helped make that organization as a routine winner. And I think that's what Tennessee needs. They need a team who can get all the way to the postseason, get a team who can make it to the playoffs. Maybe that could be Sean McDermott. So I think that could be a good landing spot for him going over and coaching Tennessee.
Yep, there's a lot of good storylines, folks. You want to talk about it with us, we'd love to hear from you. 505-6009, our telephone number. Orly is going to get in on the fun as he joins us, 13 past the hour on the show. Orly, again, great season, had to come to an end sooner or later, and it came to an end in Seattle against a Seahawks team that just – there wasn't even a doubt in that one.
Oh, no, no. I mean, right after the kickoff, the game was over. Technically, the 49ers' first drive got it to, fourth and one?
Yep.
And couldn't get a first down with McCaffrey. They tried to do a sweep. But you know what? Hats off to Seattle. Hats off the NFC West. It's the best division in football.
That's right.
Tough thing is, as a 49er, I do not care for the Rams or the Seahawks. But as lesser of the two evils, I will take the Rams. For some reason, the Seahawks just don't like the Seahawks. I hate them more than the Rams. But it's pretty close. But yeah,
tell me,
why
do you hate the Seahawks more than the Rams right now?
I think it goes back to Richie Sherman in those years. Losing to them up there. Yeah, somehow it's always been a bitter rivalry. Somehow we have been in control of the Rams in the past, not lately.
Yeah.
So I think the fan base really looks at the Rams as an easier win than the Seahawks over the years. At one time, we controlled the Rams, I think something like 9 straight games. The Seahawks have been a thorn in their back for years. And you know what? And there's a lot of people I talk, they don't want the Rams because They don't want another L.A. team winning. The Dodgers won. And if the Rams win, it's going to be two teams from the L.A. area. There's a lot
good
of people
point.
That don't want to see L.A. win another championship because of the Dodgers.
Now, listen, we should not confuse the Rams with the Dodgers because they're two completely different organizations built very, very differently. And the fact is, say this about the Rams. I mean, you look at the quarterback still alive right now. Unfortunately, Jarrett Stidham is going to have to play because of the Bo Nix injury. But then you have Drake May. You also have Sam Darnold. And you got Matthew Stafford. Stafford's probably your MVP this year. He's played so well. So, I don't know. I don't look at the Rams and think of them in any same capacity as the Dodgers. Only the fact they play in the same city.
That's what I'm saying. People do not want to see L.A. win another championship, whether it's the Dodgers or the Rams or the Lakers. There's a lot of hatred for L.A. in El Paso, but that is what it is. My hat's off to them. Real quick, what's going to happen at UTEP basketball? You barely squeaked by Delaware. And then the Aggies go there and blow them out by 29. And I look at it, and it's frustrating to watch this team. I know the kids are trying hard, but man, I can't see 10 wins. It's hard.
I mean, that's a great. And Orly, the truth is, these next four games will tell us a lot, won't they? Because they're all home games, starting with FIU Thursday night. And if the Miners want to have any chance to try to get to 10, they have to take care of business with some of these home games.
And you've got FIU, Missouri State. Don't you have the Aggies coming up too?
Yep, and you also have Liberty coming back in a few weeks. Adrian said it best. Six of their next eight games are going to be at home.
Doesn't make a difference. They almost got beat by St. Thomas at home.
Yeah. It's going to be FIU, Missouri State, Louisiana Tech, and Delaware. Then they have one road game against Sam Houston, and they're back home 3 days later for the Aggies.
Well, you know what? The Delaware may be the only really shot they've had. I don't know. It's frustrating when you see these kids. I know they're trying hard, but they're not in the same league as a lot of these ball teams. They're not in the same league. You can see it physically, and I know. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's frustrating. Who I feel sorry for is John Teicher. He's gone from the extreme best in the 90s to this today. Got to give the guy credit. He's a true professional. I don't know how he does it, but I listen to him, and boy, I feel for him. He's gone, like I said, from the very best to the very worst.
Orly, right, appreciate the comment. Thanks for getting in. Oh, Orly has to end it with a zinger. I feel sorry for Tice. I feel sorry for Tice, too. How about feeling sorry for us, Orly? We got to talk about this daily for the last, I don't know, 30 years. Come on now. It's not all John.
I know. I mean, everybody involved with UTEP. Feel bad for all of them, you know?
Just feel bad for the whole damn school, huh?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All the fans. I got you. All right. 18 pals. We'll wrap things up. Get you ready for a little CFP action, the championship. It's coming up. 4:30, our coverage starts. Let's get one last traffic update from Charlie Wan, who's standing by with the latest.
We have a trouble spot on the east side.